asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing the high cost of free shipping, gas price pushback, and the student loan freeze continues.
That's right. It's our Friday Flight, where every single Friday we look at some of the different headlines that we've come across, and we're going to talk about how those stories are going to impact your finances. But Joel, we've been talking a decent bit about working out here lately, kind of behind the scenes here at How to Money. We've been talking about how we should probably be doing a better job working out.
Well, right? It started with one of my friends the other day was like, bring your friend to work week or gym week. And and so I was like,
you could also show up with him to the workshop.
I could. But so he was like, hey, do you want to come work out with me? And I was like, it's been a minute. I ride my bike and, you know, do some push-ups here and there, but actually like working out, lifting weight, pumping the iron is something that I rarely do. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time. It's one of those things though, where at his gym, it's like $200 a month to join this gym. And I get it. Like, I think when I first heard about CrossFit, I instantly revolted. I was like, I don't understand why anyone would pay that much when you can get a gym membership elsewhere for
hundreds of dollars,
20, 30, 40 bucks. Right. Yes. Yeah. But after going and just kind of seeing how it's impacted some of my friends, just the camaraderie, the community, that I kind of get it. I get it. You're paying not just for the access to workout equipment, you're paying for a vibe, right? And so I had a great time, enjoyed working out. It's one of those things I still can't bring myself to pay $200 a month yet though. But I saw this article in the New York Times that just kind of interested me, because the headline was getting fitter in 3 seconds. And I was like, ooh, 3 seconds, getting fitter. That
sounds like way less time.
Can I do this?
And what I had to dedicate the other week.
Right. Yeah. Can I do this while I'm on my couch? Oh, man, this sounds fantastic. And so it was cool, man. It was talking about how this study found that people literally contracting their muscles, their biceps in particular, really hard for 3 seconds every day for a month, how many of them were able to get 10, 12% more strong in their bicep muscles, or even sprinting on a bike for 4 seconds, or sprinting on your legs like a quick run for 10 seconds, how those things are actually impact your fitness levels. And I just thought that was kind of fascinating. And it just made me think, you know what, sometimes lifting small weights or something like that can make you feel good. And that's a good, healthy thing to do too. But sometimes just pushing yourself, even for just a little bit, can getting your body to do something it rarely or never does,
right, exactly,
is a great way to get more fit.
Exactly. Well, you say fit, but it's about getting stronger.
Stronger.
Because like, that's the difference too. It's like, it's not necessarily making our hearts fitter or like our lungs, but like, you are...
You should still go on a multiple mile run.
Yeah, there are definitely benefits, but it's not quite the same thing as like having a like full body fitness, you know, routine or something like that. But like the money application here, though, obviously, we're not just going to start talking about health all the time. But I think like what stood out to me is the fact that there are small things that we can do in our lives virtually every day, or not every day, but even like once a week, where if we just gave it a little bit of attention, that we would be able to see dramatic increases with very small amounts of time, right? And so like you look at this workout plan, and granted, this is research done with college students. I'm guessing too with older folks that it actually might be different. But even still, by spending 3 seconds, they were able to see, like you said, like a 10, 12% increase in strength. That is an incredible ROI on your amount of time. And I think there are small things in our lives when it comes to our money that if we just gave it a little bit of attention, a little bit of maybe intense attention, that we would be able to see a dramatic change in our money, whether it's just the money that we're making or the money that's going out. And so for, you know, maybe if someone's listening, maybe for them that is like not using their credit cards anymore, right? Because that might mean that they're carrying balances every single month and paying a lot of interest. Or maybe that means just actually signing up for like a Mint, like the budgeting app or whatever, and just start tracking your expenses. Because if you can see where it is that you're spending your money, maybe that can have a pretty significant impact on what you actually do with your money.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that that's only going to take you 3 seconds to do those things, but I think there are some very small things, some small changes that we can implement into our lives where we would see kind of like those outsized returns.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, just interesting. And we'll post a link to that in our show notes, because if you are wanting to get stronger more quickly, maybe some of these bite-sized workouts will help you develop some more strength. And I'm just gonna start flexing my biceps while I'm like watching
Netflix.
It just
gets the ball rolling, right? Because if you just start thinking about it at all, just like with your money, if you start thinking about it at all, I think there's a good chance that you're gonna start making some better decisions.
Yeah, it's like the nudge in the right direction.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to our Friday Flight stories that we found interesting this week. We are gonna get to that student loan freeze, because that is just obviously top of mind for so many people now, anybody who has a student loan, obviously. But let's talk about mortgages for a second, Matt, because I guess something I was thinking about this week was, are we going to see 40-year mortgages become a reality in the near future? Because right now, the longest-term mortgage that most people have access to is a 30-year mortgage. But the president of the Philadelphia Fed, he remarked last week that this might be a good idea. And
yeah,
I'm going to have to agree to disagree on this one, because he's probably smarter than I am, but I think we can still respectfully disagree. And you know, inflation obviously is making lots of things more expensive right now. A lack of housing affordability is part of that collateral damage, especially as interest rates are shooting up at just a rapid clip. It's obviously becoming a problem for anyone who is in the housing market. Matt, we got an email this week from a listener who at the end he signed off anxious renter, because he wants to buy a house, and it's a tough time. And my heart goes out to anybody who's in that position. It's not easy. But the solution is not to necessarily stretch out payments over a longer period of time. It's kind of like how we talk about car loans, right? We're not really big fans of car loans in general.
I hate them.
Yeah, they suck. But we really dislike the ones that allow you to pay off your car over 7 or 8 years or longer. Like, you're underwater in that car loan for a long time if that's what you're doing. What if your car breaks down and you need a new one? You know, longer loan terms, they don't fix the underlying problem. And I think the same is true when we're talking about mortgages. Just pushing it out over a longer period of time isn't the fix that most people need.
Yeah. You know, like, I get the logical reason for suggesting that a 40-year mortgage, you know, how that might be a good idea. Like, longer loan terms, that's going to mean lower payments for millions of buyers, effectively allowing them to purchase a home that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. Same thing is true with a car loan. But you are paying more in interest over the life of the loan, and you are building equity within that asset, within that home, at a glacial pace, you know, like, and so this means that if you unexpectedly have to move for work, or, you know, or you want to move into a bigger home just as your family is growing, you might find that you are not in a great financial position with your home. We want you to have a long ownership time horizon anyway when it comes to buying a home, because of realtor fees and closing costs. But a 40-year mortgage, you know, as these become a reality, I think you need to stay in a home even longer in order to not make a massive financial mistake.
Yeah, so this is just kind of conjecture at this point, but, you know, people have talked about 40-year mortgages and the potential for those for a lot of years. And yeah, I don't think they're a good idea. I think some people could use them well, like some people are still able to use a car loan well. If you get 0% interest rate on a loan for 6 months and you had the cash on hand anyway, it's like, well, that wasn't a terrible financial decision. But there are a lot of people who would use them poorly and would get into a house that they really, truly shouldn't be buying. So it's not my favorite thing. Let's move on, Matt. Let's talk about libraries for a second, because, you know, we haven't talked about our favorite libraries here on the show in a while. Like, went with my kids the other day to the library, picked out some books. I think we got 22 books, which...
that's the maximum.
Yeah, I think right? It might be close to the
because
maximum.
Because that's how many our kids bring home as well. Which, I'm just going to say, I think that's just a healthy way to view the library. Because
yeah.
It's like, what? Why not? Like,
use it. Abuse it.
Well, not abuse it, but like actually utilize it. Get the books. Don't worry about whether or not you're going to finish this book or whether you'll like it. Just give it a shot.
Well, by abuse it, I mean just like... use it up a lot. But but the one way that you would potentially abuse it is by not returning your books, right?
Right.
And then getting hit with fees and fines and basically these, you know, late fees that a library charges. Of course, you can avoid that altogether by returning the book on time. But some public libraries actually generate millions of dollars every year in late fees, which is good. It helps support the library. But except in New York, because mm-hmm. recently the New York library system, they ended late fees for customers. Why did they do that? Well, the big reason was because they wanted their stuff back. I think people get so afraid. They're like, I owe a late fine on this book, or like maybe multiple books or a bunch of stuff that they're hoarding from like one library visit, like the 22 books we got. And they decide, you know what? It's going to cost me $100 to take all these books back. I'm never going back to the library again. And this story documented people who had books since the 60s and 70s.
It's
and because
insane.
They ended ended fines, they returned all these books that they'd been holding on to for years, sometimes along with like a sweet note saying, thanks and sorry about that. But yeah, it was just a really interesting article to see how, you know what, ending those fines actually kind of allows some people, those delinquents, to bring all their stuff back to the library. And because we love libraries, we just like, you know, we like to see these library systems. There's something any money-conscious person should really be intentional about using.
Totally. Yeah, something else that changed too when they implemented that, there have been more library visitors since the fines were done away with. So it's really cool to see how this like seemingly small change like that, how it can have a big impact on folks' willingness to show back up and to use their local public library. Something else I'm seeing here too is the fact that like it seems like there's like a sense of shame associated with folks and the fees that they owe and the books that they have to give back. They know that if they go there, they feel bad, basically. And so because of that, it's something that they avoid altogether. And again, I'm going to tie this back to money because in a similar way, there are facets of our personal finances where we have completely ignored. And those bad habits can build upon themselves, leading to even, you know, worse outcomes down the road. And so all that to say, sort of like the 3-minute workout thing, like I think even the smallest move in the right direction can help to transform how you see yourself, whether as a library user or somebody who is actually going to start investing for your future.
Well, we can all tend to be forgetful too. There's no shame in that game. Like, just go pay the fine and return your stuff. Like, the last time I went to the library, before we could check out our 22 books, I too had to pay a late fine. And I blame my wife on that one. But love you, baby.
Like 10 cents though, right? Yeah. 10, 15 cents?
It was like $7. Yeah.
Oh.
We were late. We were late on that one. Actually, they thought the book was lost. So this was one of those that we had been holding on to for a long time. But it's one of those that was like, all right, pay the money, pay the $7, move on, check out some new books. And then, yeah, one other way to avoid the late fees, something that I use frequently, which I was like, why can't I get a book, an audiobook on the Libby app right now? And it was because we had this late fine. They were like clamping down. But that is one of the ways to avoid late fines too, is getting audiobooks, getting ebooks on Libby or Overdrive, because
or Hoopla.
Yeah, they'll automatically pull those books back once that allotted time is up. So yeah, I love kind of those digital assets because you don't even have to really think about them. And you know, I just like being able to listen to audiobooks on my phone anyway.
Oh yeah. Let's keep moving, man. CNBC, they published an article about why it's not free. And I'm glad they did, because I think that free shipping has kind of warped our brains a little bit when it comes to how we buy things online. It's definitely kind of changed how I view things. I know that I'm definitely inclined to dismiss anything that's being sold on the internet if I have to pay a dime for shipping. Mm-hmm. But we all know that the post office, FedEx, the UPS, that they're not bringing packages to your door without getting paid. This this isn't just some service that they're offering for free. And of course, small businesses, they've had the hardest time competing in the free shipping push because they are paying more dollars for each package they send. The big players out there like Walmart, Amazon, they get better rates due to their massive volume and the amount of business that they're able to generate. But don't forget that you are literally paying for that free, quote-unquote free, two-day shipping with your Plus or your Prime membership. We have basically like divorced in our mind these additional expenses from the things that we buy,
yeah,
like, you know, online whenever we feel the need to buy something.
And that probably also just just leads to a lot of waste, right? Because we're buying things one-off because like, hey, free shipping. But all that stuff leads to higher costs for these companies, and they will pass them on to us. And researchers have actually pointed out that companies have removed what they call the pain of paying from the online shopping experience by removing that charge basically from day-to-day purchases. Plus, companies like Walmart and Amazon, they've just muddied the waters, obviously, even more by giving us other free perks that go along with free shipping. So, you know, whether it's discounted gas for members or video streaming for free, like, well, watch this stuff or listen to this music for free. It's just, it's getting tougher than ever to make an apples to apples comparison when you're shopping online.
Yeah. And you're not just paying for shipping, you're paying for this whole host, this whole suite of services that we are now providing you.
And so now free shipping is just kind of one of those benefits that you're receiving, and it's harder to weigh it against shopping elsewhere. And it's just good to be reminded of the fact that we just naturally, we like things to be easy. And like Amazon and Walmart Plus, they have made it just so much easier to kind of shop in within that silo. But, you know, this data, it points out that consumers are willing to pay more than the cost of shipping if that higher cost is just baked into the cost of the product. And so sometimes just seeing free shipping, it sets off this light in our head that we're getting a deal. But really, we should do a little more research before we pull the trigger, before we make the purchase there. Being told the shipping is free means we're often just fooling ourselves rather than looking at the actual numbers. So I get it. My brain works the same way. But it's something we have to actively fight against when we're shopping online. Do some price checks. You know, use a service. Use Google Shopping or use one of the plugins like Honey in order to determine like, well, hey, is this the best price it's been recently? Is it cheaper elsewhere? Like, those are the kind of things that are going to help you not just hit buy because, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess it's free shipping. It must be a decent deal. And it's helpful just to look more outside of the shops where you normally buy stuff. Like, if you're always on Amazon, look somewhere else too, because you're not always getting the best price there. And I know it's easy, and I know shipping is quote-unquote free, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily getting the best deal.
That's right, man. All right, we've got several other stories we're going to get to during this episode right after the break, including one about the ways that we can curb fuel consumption. We'll get to that plus a few others right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Cachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, we are back. It's time to get to our ludicrous headline of the week. Before we get to that story about curbing our fuel consumption, we've got actually a few stories we want to cover on that. But our ludicrous headline comes from a new Fidelity study, and it reads, 45% of Gen Z and millennials don't see the point of saving for the future. Matt, I'm not going to lie. I shed a tear when I read that headline. I was like, who are these people? These pessimistic, dour people who don't want to save for their future selves.
Folks are just seizing the day, man. YOLO.
I guess so. But that, you know, that's going to lead to a lot of financial insecurity,
yeah,
in all likelihood, a lot of debt, and just a lot more years of working in general, too. And nearly half of folks ages 18 to 35, they don't see the point in saving for their own future, at least until things return to normal. But then it made me ask the question, what really is normal anymore? Like,
exactly, yeah.
We're kind of living in odd times. And according to that study, you know, things returning back to normal means a post-COVID world. But most experts agree that that's never actually going to happen. We're going to be living with COVID-19 for many, many, many years to come. And so, yeah, the pandemic, obviously, it's been hard for everyone. It's been specifically difficult for some people more than others. But here's the thing, the world didn't stop spinning, and our advice is to get busy living life, which includes being smart with your money, regardless of what you've got going on. You know, retirement, it can seem like it's a long way off, but time is on your side if you start young. The longer you delay, the worse off you're going to be.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't start contributing to your retirement accounts until you're in your 40s or even your 50s, you're going to have what's going to seem like a monumental task ahead of you, right? Like, and so the younger you start, the less that you actually need to set aside to achieve your goals. And here's the thing, too. No one else is going to be doing this for you. No one's going to save for retirement for you. Pensions mostly don't exist anymore. Social Security, it's going to still be around, but it won't be enough to for you to get by. It's tough seeing this pessimism from folks just a little bit younger than us. And it's not that the recent world events, it's not that they don't offer a reason to be concerned, but it's just crucial to focus on things that are in our locus of control. Saving for our own futures, even if it is just a little bit to start off with, it's just one of those things that we do have control over. World events, while they are important and we do need to be aware of them, should not detract from saving for our own futures.
Yeah, and it's not that there's not scary stuff happening, and it's not that it's not been a really difficult last few years, but the reality is hard things are going to happen, whether they're on the world stage or whether they're on your specific individual or familial stage, right? So you're going to incur difficult things throughout the years, no matter what. And I think part of it, Matt, is that the 24/7 news cycle just reinforces the things that we should be scared of. And the more we watch news, in all likelihood, the more fearful we're going to be. And so I'd love to see our younger cohort of Gen Z and millennials actually kind of realize that there are scary things out there, but that this doesn't mean that you should not be thinking about and saving for your own future. It's crucial so that you can have a greater level of financial independence, so that you can have more freedom over, you know, what you're going to do with your own future. Saving for your future is crucial, really, no matter what stage of life you're in, but in particular, Matt, for those Gen Zs, for the millennials, like you said, just a little bit goes a long way when you start young.
That's right, man. Yeah. And as we think about the different things we have control over, it's important too to recognize some of the things that we don't have control over, you know, like COVID or like the economy. One of the things that we also don't have control over is whether or not the federal government continues to extend the student loan forbearance. And earlier this week, Biden announced that the payment pause will continue until September. And who knows, it might even extend beyond that. So this is good news for those who were looking to see an additional payment out of their monthly budget. But to anyone out there who was gearing up for those payments to resume, now is the time to invest. You know, we just talked about how almost half of our generation, half of Gen Z and millennials, aren't saving for the future. Well, now you can start regularly socking away money towards retirement. Again, it's tough to know what the future holds. Who knows what COVID is going to look like? Who knows what is going to happen to student loans in the long term? But it is important to take action where we can in our own individual lives.
Yeah, I know there's much rejoicing from anyone who has student loans because, yeah, I mean, nobody really wants those payments to resume. If you've got them, you're like, yeah, keep kicking the can down the road. But ultimately, at some point, we believe those will resume. We just don't know when. And so, yeah, we'll keep you up to speed. But it looks like, yeah, you've got through the summer now, and it won't be until the fall when student loans are going to resume. But Matt, let's talk about gas prices for a second, because they obviously remain stubbornly high. The national average has actually declined a little bit in recent weeks. And part of that, some states have, you know, instituted a temporary tax moratorium, which has brought prices down even more. Georgia, where we live, that's one of those states where we've seen something like, 29 cents rolled back off every gallon because of a tax moratorium through part of the spring and summer. But yeah, driving a more fuel efficient vehicle is actually always a money saving move for that folks can take advantage of. And I feel like I'm seeing the bigger cars I see, I'm like, oh man, it hits you so much harder, these gas prices, if you're driving something that gets, you know, 16 miles to the gallon versus a car that gets more like 30. It's going to impact you in a completely different way. And it actually looks like we're going to be seeing more fuel efficient cars on the road in the coming years, of course. But the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they announced requirements that new vehicles will have to average at least 40 miles a gallon starting in 2026. That's an increase of 12 miles to the gallon compared to what is required currently.
It's pretty huge.
Yeah, which is a difference of 240 miles per fill up on a 20 gallon tank. And with today's gas prices, that's like a $35 difference every time you fill up at the pump. Mm-hmm. I believe in California, that's a $400 difference every time you fill up at the pump. Just a joke, Californians. But part of this transition is obviously going to involve electric cars. That writing has been on the wall, and a lot of announcements have been made about car manufacturers going to all electric cars by 2030. But Toyota and General Motors, they actually announced that they're working on electric vehicles that are going to cost less than $30,000. These aren't going to hit the streets until 2027. But when we're talking about greater fuel economy, electric vehicles are obviously like the best version of that. And we're going to be seeing not just the fancy higher end electric vehicles, we've seen a lot of those, but we're going to see a lot more in kind of that budget range, which I think is going to help mass adoption, is going to help curb all of our fuel costs in the long run.
Yeah, we need to see that like iPhone SE version of the EV.
That's exactly right.
Well, so another way that you can try and avoid the sting of high gas prices is by biking. Of course, we're going to use this opportunity to plug our love for bikes. But there is an article over at Bike Portland that talked about a guy who, he's got this e-cargo bike. Specifically, it's an e-Bullet, which I will say it's a very, very nice bike.
Isn't that like a $10,000 bike or something like that?
Yeah.
Like in that range?
It can rival the cost of a vehicle. But, you know, like this guy, he's truly found the winning combination that works for him. It's an e-bike, and he's put over 10,000 miles on that bike in the last 2 years that he's owned it. And he's able to use solar powered charging stations. He's able to use electric vehicle charging stations as well to top off his battery while he's out riding around town. And so we mention this because obviously this is not for everyone, but it's just really cool to see that it is possible to make it happen if you want to. We're fans of even, you know, just anybody riding any kind of bike, whether or not it's a cargo bike or just a regular bike. There are way more opportunities for you to use your car less, especially when it comes to running errands around town and maybe even some longer errands like taking the kids to school. That's something that we've been lucky enough to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, I thought the coolest part of the story was the fact that he is charging at some of these EV charging stations. Like, he's where you go plug in your Tesla, he's plugging in his bike. And it's because he's got this adapter that's like $180, and it allows him to basically get that juice from that station. And there are a lot of free EV charging stations. So, you know, when he's biking as much as he is, he's got to find places where he can top off when he's not at home. And that's just so cool, man. I didn't even know that was a thing that you could hook your bike up to an electric vehicle charger. So more power to this guy, Sean in Portland, who's just like crushing thousands of miles on that bike and charging probably for free a lot of times.
Yeah, well, I think his daily commute involves like thousands of feet in elevation change.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well, which was like mind blowing. Obviously, if you are in a like a flatter city, biking without e-assist is going to be much more doable. But I just found that to be pretty incredible.
Yes.
As well, that it is possible, even if you live in a more mountainous region.
I'm sure that guy, even though he's riding an e-bike, has calves of steel, is my guess. But and Matt, similarly, you know, we've seen the rise of more folks buying and using not just electric bikes, although sales have been through the roof, but electric scooters are another way that people are choosing to get around. And there's a Miami-based e-scooter company that's reporting 70% higher sales last month than they had just a year ago. So yeah, it's no surprise, obviously, given the cost of gas, people are looking to other ways to get around, especially on some of those shorter trips. But you know, also, it's not just the cost of gas, it's the cost of cars. So if you're like, mm-hmm. listen, I kind of need a new car, or like you might instead opt for some sort of alternative vehicle, because that is going to save you not just money at the pump, but also on buying an expensive new car or used car. But yeah, we just, again, want to encourage folks to consider these alternative forms of transportation, whether it is a scooter, whether it's a traditional bike, whether it's an e-bike. You know, everyone has their own breaking point when it comes to the cost of a car or cost at the pump, but eventually you have to look at what it's actually costing you instead of just like eating it and accepting it or letting it bust your budget.
Right.
And so we actually, you know, we spent an entire episode talking about how it's incredibly possible for so many people to drop a car from their household. That was episode 242. We called it No Car, No Problem. And I think there are a lot of people, especially in this work from home age, and especially with how much better these scooters and bikes have gotten in just recent years, who could become one car families. They could ditch at least one car from their life, or they could fill up at the pump less because they are using their scooter or their bike more frequently. These are just things to consider, especially as these costs are just like skyrocketing through the roof.
That's right. So we'll make sure to link to all the different stories that we mentioned during this episode. You can look forward to a fresh episode landing here on Monday. We're speaking with friend of the show, Nick Majuli, about investing. We talked about investing this past Wednesday, and we're going to continue that conversation a little bit more with him here on Monday. So you can look forward to that. We hope everyone has a great weekend. And Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now. Whoa.
Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.